Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Luke chapter 4, verse 13, starting there, it's a familiar passage. "And when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." But it says Jesus did. He stopped there, talking about the first coming, didn't mention the second coming, because it just wasn't time. It was his first coming. And he closed the book, gave it to the minister, and sat down. Could talk about which chair he sat down in. Could. "And all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him." That's where we need to be. Our eyes need to be fastened upon Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John the Baptist had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." He came into that synagogue and said, "Look, Isaiah said, I'm going to do all these things." And then we find, after several months or whatever of ministry, Jesus was doing exactly those things and more. Healing the lepers. We could go into 1 Kings or 2 Kings or something like that and read about lepers being cleansed. The dead raised up, we understand Elisha and Elijah, they raised the dead. That was his ministry. He did miracles. He led people to himself, which, you know, that's what he's supposed to do. He's God. It wasn't dead religion, but it was active. And a great number of people were helped, healed. They were encouraged, etc. He's the answer. And he sent word to John, "Hey, look, I've been doing exactly what I said." Acts chapter 1, verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John the Baptist truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." I'll shorten it a bit, I guess, but in verse 8 here it says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus said, hey, Isaiah said, I'm going to do all of these things. And what do we know? We find that he was doing all of these things. But then when Jesus is going back to heaven, he says, hey, y'all need to be doing these things. You're in charge now. You're the ambassadors. You represent me. Go preach the gospel. Go heal the sick. Go raise the dead. Go cast out devils. Go preach the gospel to the poor. Go show what kindness is, etc. And then the passage talks about, yeah, but I'm coming back, he said. Or the angel said he was coming back in a cloud from heaven. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. That's why he came. Because men were lost. That's the only reason why he came, was to bring salvation. Mark 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the great commission. That's what we should do. Everything he did, let's go do it, he said. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat or food, and the body more than raiment or clothes? Talk to some people, young people, their entire world revolves around what they look like and what kind of clothes they got on. Best advice I saw was from a movie. Kid was saying, hey, Daddy, you know, I got this, you know, this shirt look okay with this pants? And he said, look, go in the closet, pick whatever you find and put it on. Just, I mean, even close your eyes, pick something, put it on. It don't matter what you look like. It matters how you act. In verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, the birds of the air, for they sow not, they don't plant, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit or 1 foot to his stature? You 5'8", that's fine. You can't be 5'9", no matter how much you try. Go to all the conventions and buy all the books and all of that and get on the diets and whatever. It doesn't matter. You ain't going to make 5'9". You ain't going to do it, much less 6'8". And why take ye thought for raiment or clothes? What you worried about clothes? God takes care of little bunny rabbit. He knows how to make a nest. God does everything. God gives nuts to the squirrels, etc. God takes care of it. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, King Solomon, in all his glory, the richest man that ever lived, was not arrayed like one of these. Imagine a king, a robe with gold sewn into the material. He sits on a golden throne. He's got the ivory lions and the whole nine yards. That's great. And we understand royalty by us Americans. We look at the British. We understand British royalty, but he said that, and this is God speaking, the lilies in the field are more beautiful than even a king or queen on his or her throne. It says, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What are we going to drink? In verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The people that don't know God are worried about all that. Let them worry about it. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, because God knows you need some clothes. He knows. You ain't going to tell him. He knows. I sure pray, but he knows already. But verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. It may not be the latest fashion. Again, God doesn't care about fashion. But God will give you clothes. And God will give you transportation if you need it. God will give you food, obviously. God will give you everything that you need. But don't worry about those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And again, let's go over it again. Let's go to Isaiah and figure out that he realized that, hey, I ain't speaking right and I ain't talking right. My mind's on the wrong things. And the fact that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, and that we ought to preach the gospel, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If we do this verse 33 in Matthew chapter 6 here, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's be about the Father's business. Get your mind off the latest craze and the latest thing on YouTube or whatever. Just get your mind off of that stuff. Get your mind on the gospel. And everything that you need, God will give to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow or tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You get enough troubles for today, don't worry about tomorrow. You'll have troubles tomorrow too. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We can seek ye first the kingdom of God, but let's not forget and His righteousness, which is what Isaiah figured out when he realized that his lips were unclean. And everybody he knew back home, their lips were unclean. Because God is a thrice holy God. And know ye not that you're the temple of God, for the Spirit of God dwelleth within you. If God lives in you, maybe you ought to live holy. Maybe you ought to have a consciousness of doing the right things and living right and thinking right. If your responses are bad, wrong, what have you, like me, you put me in certain circumstances, I get all bent out of shape. But I'm wrong for that. Need to learn how to respond better. And all these things will be added unto you. Isaiah chapter 58. There's a lot here. Got 14 verses I have written down here. I'm not going to read them all, but he talks about this fast, the one that God has chosen, in verse 6. Now, he lists before that in verse 5 all kind of religious stuff. And I hate religion. I hate doing things because, well, that's the way we always did it, brother, or our denomination tells us to do that, or, well, the deacons say you're going to do that, and it's, well, you know, who cares? The point is, Jesus died for the sins of the world, and it's our duty to tell others. It's not about the deacons or the choir. It's not about the bylaws. Who cares? Your denomination, my denomination, will rise and fall if the Lord tarries and other ones will come up. And there's still going to be lost people out there sticking needles in their arms. Denomination don't matter. The lost matter. Forget religion. But he says, it's not this the fast that I have chosen. Fasting means don't eat. Pray and don't eat. You afflict yourself. Me, most important thing about me, I suppose, is, hey, is there bacon? But to fast is difficult. It says, hey, you know, don't eat. Because, Lord, I'm concerned about the thing I'm praying for, or that person over there, or whatever. Fast and pray. He says, when ye fast in the Gospels. It's hard to do, I understand. But he says, this is the fast I'm talking about, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Kind of sounds like what Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do these exact things. And God says, hey, you know, forget your religion. What it's supposed to be about is what I said. Is it not to deal or give thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? That thou seest the naked, and that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. You know, the guy sticking needles in his arms and living in a crack house or whatever, that's your brother. Do you necessarily want to go over there? No. But maybe you ought to pray for him, and if there's an opportunity to minister to him, or maybe his brother who don't do that stuff, or whatever. Be concerned about the guy in the crack house. Somebody said, there, but for the grace of God, go I. I used to do drugs. I used to consider, well, I got one or two more steps, and I guess I'm just going to have to kill myself. I understand. That's what we're supposed to be worried about. Oh, remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He might have been quoting this right here in Isaiah chapter 58, because he says, you do all that stuff, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Thou shalt call. How'd you like a prayer life like this? Thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Remember, God in Isaiah chapter 6 was speaking to Isaiah and says, who's going to go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, I'll go. Well, right here it says, if you live right and you care about others instead of your fat self, thou shalt cry, and God shall say, here I am. Kind of a little different spin on it, right? You can move heaven. God will stop what he's doing to pay attention to you and give you what you need if you're going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and care about others instead of yourself. So finally we get to the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verse 1. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense on. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit and a half the length thereof, the cubit the breadth thereof, four square shall it be. Two cubits shall be the height thereof, the horn shall be the same. And I can go through this description. We've talked about shittim wood and etc. and overlaid with gold. We've talked about that, and we're going to go over it again next week when we talk about the wonderful piece of furniture where God dwells between the mercy seat and the cherubim, the Ark of the Covenant. I'll take time to go through that and the staves and all of that stuff. But it says, verse 7, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. And we talked about the incense in heaven, etc. When he dresseth or trims the lamps, he shall burn incense on it every morning. You know, you ought to read your Bible and pray every day if possible. Well, every morning they burnt incense, which again rises up to God. And in heaven it's mixed with the prayers of the saints. To me, that's wonderful that my little prayer God listens to every morning. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening or evening, he shall burn incense on it. A perpetual incense before the Lord through your generations. You should have a lifestyle of prayer and reading the Word of God. And this, every morning and every evening, it talks about the sacrifices, the morning and the evening, the daily sacrifices. One at 9 o'clock in the morning, and another at 3 in the afternoon. We understand that Jesus was nailed to the cross, 9 o'clock in the morning, and he died at 3 in the afternoon. But it says, ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, no burnt sacrifice, nor a meat offering, neither shall you pour a drink offering thereon. Now we should, and they did, give meat offering and drink offering and burnt sacrifice and what have, they did that stuff, but not here, not on the golden altar. That was to be done outside in the courtyard, at the brazen altar, the place that sacrifices were commanded to be done. Not on this altar, the golden altar of incense, the altar of prayer. And to end on a scary note, I guess, Leviticus chapter 10. We understand Moses, the deliverer, but there was Aaron, his brother, and Aaron was the high priest. And all the sons of Aaron, there are four or five mentioned, I forget, they were the first priests. And they would do this every morning. They would offer incense, and every evening they would do all the work of the temple. And Aaron himself, being the high priest, would go on the Day of Atonement, that one day of the year, and would have you. And we'll talk somewhat about that next week. But Leviticus chapter 10, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not, which is what we just read. But they did. Honestly, they got drunk one night and said, hey, what do we do? Ooh! And they came up with this idea of putting incense, don't know where they got it from, and fire, which they weren't supposed to do. And they offered strange fire before the Lord. And verse 2, and there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that which the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified, or counted to be holy, in them that come nigh me. And before all the people I will be glorified. There's an old prophecy that says, and it's about 100-some-odd years ago that it was given, that there's going to come a day when men praise a God that they no longer pray to. There's no holiness. We don't, in fact, we're taking the blood out of the hymnals, don't want to have anything to do with the cross in certain denominations. They just rip that stuff out. They don't believe in the fundamentals of the faith, but they want to praise and shout and put in the worship CD and all of that stuff and go all of these seminars and all of that stuff and buy all the books, but they don't know how to pray anymore and ask God for their needs. And they don't really care about the starving in Africa. Strange fire. Don't let it happen to you like it happened to Nadab and Abihu. Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity to preach. And I pray, I know it's a strong message, but I pray that you would help those that have listened. And I did pray for a fear of God. That's something we don't hear about, don't talk about, don't want, I suppose, but God says to be holy, even as he is holy. You said to walk lightly before God. You said to remember him and to do his commandments. And if you love me, keep my commandments and what have you. I pray that you'd speak to those in their hearts and convict them and put a holy fear of God in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, for he answers. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. doubt, for He answers, have faith in God. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.